We know the power of prayer. We know the promises of prayer. We know the importance of prayer. Why is it we have such a hard time praying? What can we do to deepen our prayer lives?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was John Bunyan who said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. What is it that makes it so difficult for us to pray consistently, pray the way we know God's called us to pray, take advantage of the promises of prayer, pray the way we know in our own lives, pray the way we know we can be that can be so effective? What is it that makes it so difficult for us to spend time with the one we love the most, to pray through, to take hold of the promises? We want to talk about that today, because really, if we could get our devotional lives in deeper order, if we could get our devotional lives more connected, if we could get our prayer lives more ablaze, there would be nothing that could hold us back. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, get in the discussion on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. If you haven't signed up there, by all means, do so. By the way, we just had an article published that I wrote called Let the Awakening Begin. Really, Let the Awakening Begin with Us. It's been published on Christian Post website as a guest contributor there. I'm going to share some of that with you later. It ties in with the things we're talking about. Oh, okay, look, it's Tuesday, which means here on The Line of Fire, we focus in particular on biblical, theological, apologetic, or practical living issues. And if there was anything that exposed a lack in our lives, it is often the lack of prayer. I've got some quotes before me. Richard Cecil said the leading defect in Christian ministers is want of a devotional habit. Adoniram Judson, the missionary, who said, I am persuaded that we are all more deficient in a spirit of prayer than in any other grace. It doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, think of it. We look in the scriptures and we see how dramatically, how powerfully, how wonderfully, in many, many different situations, God supernaturally answered prayer and everything miraculously turned around. We know in our own lives, sometimes when our backs have been against the wall, as we've cried out to God in prayer, we've seen him move wonderfully. And we know on an entirely different level, some of the most wonderful experiences we've ever had in our lives have been communing with God in prayer, fellowshipping with God in prayer, meeting with God in prayer, pouring out our hearts to him, communing with him. We know that. And we know that God is accessible 24/7. I know we may get tested and have faith battles, but certainly we understand that. That God is accessible 24/7, that Jesus himself said, ask and it will be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. We have many promises and encouragements and exhortations throughout the Word of God. We see how foundationally important prayer was in the ministry of Jesus. In fact, when I preached at Fire at our home community here in Charlotte, in Concord, right outside of Charlotte, when I preached a couple of weeks ago on that, on the prayer life of Jesus, I went through Luke's gospel looking at example after example after example of the importance of prayer in the life of Jesus. That's linked on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, by the way, if you'd like to listen to that. So we see the importance of prayer. We know the importance of prayer. What is it that hinders us from praying? I'd love to hear from you to answer two questions today. Number one, what are the main things, the principal things that hinder us from prayer? Maybe there's one in particular you can weigh in on, one in particular you've experienced, one in particular you see as very common in the body or in your personal life. What are the main hindrances to prayer? And then what can we do practically to deepen our prayer lives? In the Welsh Revival, Evan Roberts, 1904, 1905, Evan Roberts knew what his job assignment was. It was to get the church on its knees. He said, a church on its knees basically is irresistible. We will see the purposes of God fulfilled if we can learn to be a people of God in prayer. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I was just thinking about this subject of prayer that we're focusing on today. And really, any day of the week, it would be relevant. It would be relevant on Wednesdays when we focus on moral and cultural issues. It would be relevant on Thursdays when we focus on issues having to do with Israel and the Jewish people. It would be relevant on Fridays when we're answering lots of difficult questions that people send in, because many of them are personal questions, personal struggles, issues with breakthroughs in the family. It'd be relevant on Mondays when we cover everything under the sun that comes up over the weekend or directions we feel to go. It'd be relevant. Prayer is relevant to everything we do. Prayer is relevant to our personal connection with God. Prayer is relevant to our ability to touch society. Prayer is relevant to the salvation of our family and our friends and the nations. Prayer is relevant to breakthroughs in communities. Prayer is relevant to everything we touch. And yet it seems often to be so difficult to pray. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, two questions for you. And you don't have to give a full discourse with 20 answers for each, but one key answer for either or is great. What are some of the major hindrances, things that stop us from praying? Or the other side, what are some things that you have found effective that help deepen your prayer life? 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire for relevant resources to today's show. As I'm looking at some of the comments on our Facebook page, I noticed one from a Dion, a female Dion, that I think is very relevant. She said, "The first key I've found is just praying. Praying no matter how difficult it starts off or how uninspired I might feel. It's a lot easier to read, talk, chat, write about praying, but I only begin to break through when I do it." Have you ever noticed that it's easier to have a conversation with someone else than it is to pray? I mean, there have been times when I'm maybe worn out or a little under the weather, laying in bed, and someone can call and I can talk to them, and Nancy can come in the room and we can have a conversation, but then, "Oh, I'm too tired to pray. I'm too worn out to pray." I think, how is that? That makes no sense. And I'm not talking about every prayer being, "Oh, God, oh," you know, that where you're shaking the house and taking the roof off. And I mean, there are times you just quietly commune and open your heart and talk to your Father and share what's going on and lay your burdens at His feet. I've seen for so many years, you know, you can read anything else. You go to read the Word and you start to feel tired. I mean, there's a spiritual effort required. I understand that. So let's talk this through. My goal in today's broadcast is not simply to give you information. My goal is to encourage you to take hold of God more deeply. My goal is to remind you of the accessibility of our Father in prayer. My goal is to stir you and challenge you to take hold of the promises of God and not to let go until breakthroughs come. E.M. Bounds, famous for his many books on prayer, said, "Much time spent with God is the secret of all successful praying. Prayer, which is felt as a mighty force, is the immediate or immediate product of much time spent with God." Another quote of his that I've shared many a time: "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men of mighty prayer." Could it be that one reason we don't pray is because we're used to just being self-sufficient? One reason we don't pray is that we think, "Hey, I can do this," that it's easier to get out of bed and get on with my day and do what I know how to do than to be totally dependent on God? Could that be the reason? Could it be that sometimes we don't see the magnitude of what we're dealing with and somehow have the notion that we can pull it off? Let's go to the phones. Emily in Manchester, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm blessed, thank you.
I was just listening, and I think what you just said about going on with our day is indeed a very real reason why people don't pray. I was thinking as I was listening, one of the reasons why sometimes I'll have something that I know I should lay down at the feet of God, but the reason why I don't do it is because there's something in me that deeply doesn't want to hear what He has to say. because I might know that he's going to have me do something that, you know, my flesh doesn't want to do. So that's my answer for your question.
Yeah, thanks, Emily. And it's sad but true that sometimes we make an unwritten agreement with God to work at walk at a comfortable distance. I won't come to you for too much, and you don't bother me with too much, and we'll just walk like that, which, of course, is crazy. But we do it sometimes. Hey, thanks for being honest, Emily. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
866-34-TRUTH. What are some things that stop us from praying? What are some keys that will help deepen our prayer lives? Look, if we don't recognize the critical importance of prayer, will we take advantage of it? Will we avail ourselves of it? If we don't realize the potential and the power of prayer, will we be people of prayer? Come on, we're busy people. We got a lot to do, places to go, people to see, things to catch up on. Oh, so much is happening. To just stop, spend a half hour or an hour or two, say alone in your room, or taking a long prayer walk, or getting on your face, kneeling down, meditating on scripture and praying the scriptures, or just getting lost in worship for a while, and then with that focus on God, going to his throne and praying. I got stuff to do. I mean, there is an aspect of prayer which is very flesh-killing. My frustration as I'm preaching to me, I'm talking to me as I'm talking to you. My frustration is I could nail myself 100 times over for time wasted when I could have been communing with God. I don't mean in some legalistic way. I do not live like that with an angry God with a stick out. You did not get in your prayer quota today. You did not say your prayers today. I don't relate to God like that. No, of course not. But I could kick myself for time wasted. And then, okay, I'm a late night person. It's true. And as many times as I've tried to adjust my schedule a little bit to try to be more of a morning person, or morning schedule was important for a while because I was teaching early in the morning or doing other things early in the morning, just it seems to always switch back to being late night person. Which means for many years, even if I'd have the habit of getting up and praying first in the morning, that was only a small percentage of my prayer time. The bulk of my prayer time would be later in the day, in particular late at night, often past midnight, because I stay up very late. And I can't tell you how many times, I'm ashamed to say it, I've confessed this before, early in the day I'll feel a burden to pray. Early in the day I've been gripped to pray. And I feel, stop what you're doing and give more time to God. And I thought, okay, I will do this as soon as I do this one other thing. I will do this as soon, and you know what happens? An hour goes, and then I'll look back and it's midnight or it's 2 a.m. I thought, I've never focused in on prayer. I never gave myself to that burden. And now the day is almost gone. How shameful, how inexcusable, and how pathetic when the riches and promises of God our Father are waiting for us. Fellowship with him is waiting for us. And answers that could change other people are there waiting for us. Jim in Westchester, New York, thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Hey, I was just going to say that what works for myself and my wife is kind of in our routine when we go to bed after we put the kids down, brush the teeth. It's kind of like that set time as before we start reading when we go to bed. So that seems to help us keep it in our daily flow. The other thing that I was going to comment on, which I, like you were just speaking about how you felt guilty and that, you know, the time went by and it was pathetic that you didn't do it. Now, I'm 42, and as I'm getting older now, I'm being exposed to, you know, other friends getting divorced or people getting sick and things that I wasn't exposed to when I was younger. And now I feel like I'm trying to pray for these people that are getting chemo or doing certain things, their kids are sick. But I never was praying for that group of people before, mostly because I wasn't exposed to it. So I kind of felt guilty, you know, as I pray on a daily basis for peace and guidance and things like that. I kind of felt that I really, really slept, if you will, on all these other needs. I mean, I always prayed for the poor and the help people, everyone to be helped and kindful, but I really wasn't praying for as much. It was so too much prayer to be done, and I didn't know about it. So for me, working it into the pre-bed ceremony works for me, but also on another fold, I was felt guilty, as you were just speaking, that there was a lot of need out there, and I didn't feel that I was touching base with that.
Yeah, and you know, Jim, there are a couple different aspects to prayer. Obviously, one of them is our own communion with God, meeting with Him, sharing our own lives with Him, and then another is interceding for others. And it may happen at the same time in prayer. It may happen at different times in prayer, but certainly that's one of the reasons God has given us prayer, not just to commune with Him ourselves, but to touch a dying world. It's the most effective thing we can do. So keep pressing in, Jim. Your prayers will make a difference. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the show.
All right. God bless you. All right. We're going to talk about prayer and hopefully stimulate you to pray, to take hold of God, to break through. He answers prayer. He answers faith-filled prayer according to His word. He never fails.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've just been looking at the phone lines here, and our first three callers to call in today are all from New England, all from Massachusetts, all from the greater Boston area, so maybe it reflects a stirring to pray. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. 34 Truth 866 348-7884. You can weigh in online. Our Facebook community, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Let me share a few more prayer quotes with you. These are quotes that have stirred me through the years. S.D. Gordon, prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. That saying, if you had 5 minutes or 5 hours to spend in a ministry project, that no time could be spent better than praying. Oh, there's stuff to do after you pray. But by all means, prayer is the first blow. Prayer is the winning blow. Prayer is where the breakthroughs come. Is there something to learn from the life of Jesus, who when He's immersed in water, according to Luke, the third chapter, that He's praying and that heaven opens, that the Spirit of God comes on Him like a dove? Is there something to it that in Luke, the fifth chapter, when great crowds are following Him to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases, which is what He was doing, why He was here before His death on our behalf? Is there something to learn from it that He would go off into solitary places to pray, leave the crowds behind? Could it be that it was for the sake of the crowds that He would go to meet with His Father and then come back to them? Is there something to learn from Luke, the sixth chapter, where before Jesus chooses His 12 apostles, His 12 emissaries, that it says He spent the night in prayer to God? Is there something telling us that before these major earth-shattering, life-shaking decisions, these major events, these major turning points, that much time with God, focused time with God, is important? Is there something to learn from the fact that in Luke, the ninth chapter, that as Jesus goes out on the Mount of Transfiguration, that He goes up there to pray, and it's as He's praying that the appearance of His face is changed, and the cloud comes down, and the Father speaks, and He says, "This is My Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him." Could there be something to it that in Luke, the 11th chapter, that the disciples don't ask Jesus, "Teach us to preach," or "Teach us to teach," or "Teach us to heal," or "Teach us to drive out demons," which they may have done, but what is recorded is they said, "Teach us to pray." Is there something to it that in Luke 18, Jesus teaches a parable that people should pray always and not lose heart, pray always and not grow faint? Is there something to it that in Luke 22, in the garden, that being in an agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly? Can we learn something about the foundational importance of prayer from the life of Jesus? Can we see that in many cases, those who made the greatest impact on the earth through history for the kingdom have been men and women of prayer? Gordon Lindsay said, "He who moves mountains must make prayer a life habit." The Puritan Thomas Watson, talking about Peter's deliverance from prison in Acts 12, said it was the angel that fetched Peter out of prison. It was prayer that fetched the angel. Yeah. What stops us from praying? What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? Dave in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
I don't know about all these New England calls. Maybe there's some revival up here we don't know about yet. We'll find out about it.
Hey, this much for sure, though, a prayer is the thing that God's going to use to spark revival. That we know.
Exactly. I was just thinking, I'm driving home from court in Boston to the Cape, and I was thinking about maybe it's a threefold series of barriers. The number one thing, that we don't set aside time for it, so we don't do it, and the end of the day comes, and that was another day that we didn't set aside for prayer at some point during the day, and it's gone, and we mean to do it the next day, but we don't do it. The second thing is, at least with me, I ask the question, how do I do this? Do I speak out loud to God, or is it enough to think these thoughts toward God? Like,
yeah, I understand.
How exactly do you go about doing it, in what form? And then the third part would be, psychologically, I think in the back of our minds, we all know that God knows exactly what we're going to say and how we're going to say it and what the problem is and what the issues are. And there's just something about talking to God about something that he already knows about, even though we know that he wants us to talk to him about it and pray to him. And he welcomes that, and he wants us to do it, but there's still a psychological barrier of, well, he already knows all about the story I'm about to say.
Yeah, Dave, I do recognize that we can get hung up sometimes, especially that last point. We can get hung up in our heads about, okay, well, if I'm going to pray about this, God already knows. Well, what if the answer is different? But, of course, that's where we have to remind ourselves that he's our Father and that he loves to spend time with us and that he really encourages us to pour our hearts out to him. And that at the very least, we know that when we pour our hearts out to him, something happens inside of us. Something changes inside of us. Hey, Dave, when the radio show's over, enjoy some time in prayer in your car as well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Absolutely. God bless you. All right. Hey, friends, just a reminder that for the rest of this week, and then that's it, we are offering our 6 weeks of School of Cultural Engagement classes at over 80% off. It's an extraordinary discount. 6 weeks of classes, some of the finest teachers in the country, ranging from separation of church and state to engage in culture, Congress, and the media, to It's Time to Rock the Boat, to Reclaiming Sexual Purity, to Cultural Apologetics, to Reading Genesis as the Foundation for Life. Great classes, great teachers. There were four nights each for 6 weeks. The entire set on CD for your computer or MP3 player for only $40. Not $40 a piece, but for all six classes. We got such a strong response to that last week. I remember when the shipping department sent that in suggesting it, I thought, well, if you want to, that's fine. We'll get the resources out. But I was kind of shocked by the offer. We got such a good response. We thought, well, if it's blessing people, let's get them out. Really important foundational life-changing classes with study notes that go with them, other materials. So here's how you can stand with us. Here's how you can get these materials for yourself. 1-800-278-9978. We've got our team standing by to take your call. 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the School of Cultural Engagement. If you want to sow into our ministry, if you want to become a monthly torchbearer, our operators can help assist you. That's 1-800-278-9978. We come back. We'll take more of your calls. We will begin to focus on some of the things we can do to deepen our prayer lives. And I will read this recent editorial that I wrote for Christian Post called Let the Awakening Begin With Us. Those of you that will be tuning out or only have this half hour, we welcome you to join us on the website, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, said this to us. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask, 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 and believe, and you will receive.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Prayer should be the foundation of our lives. Communion with God, interceding for others. We know the importance of it. We see the importance of the word. We see the promises. Many of us have had supernatural answers to prayer, and yet it is often the most difficult thing to do in a consistent way. What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? That's what we're focusing on today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You want to see awakening in the church? We need to pray. You want to see moral cultural revolution? We need to pray. Do you want to see salvation go to the nations? We need to pray. Do you want to see the Jewish people come to know God through Jesus the Messiah? We need to pray. Do you want to see breakthroughs in your family where people are away from the Lord? We need to pray. Do you want to see breakthroughs in your own life? We need to pray. What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? Back to the phones. Ardith in Dedham, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I've never called any place before, so I'm really nervous. But I really enjoy praying, and I just thought I would just say I think there are three things that can deepen our prayer life, or that deepened my prayer life. One was making a habit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've really hated praying over the years and actually told the Lord about that. But his word is clear, so I just set a time to get up and pray every morning. And even if I didn't feel like praying, I would sit down. And after a while, just faithfully getting up and doing it, I found that the most amazing thing is that I have a praying one in me. He is mm-hmm. the praying one in us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be me feeling like praying. If I just open up to him, he does the praying. And I found praying the Bible was really effective, especially Psalms. And I started to see that the Lord prayed the Psalms while he was on the earth. These are all things he would enjoy,
mm-hmm.
just worshiping the Father and talking about things that were bothering him. That was it.
Well, Ardith, hey, for a first-time caller, you did great. Nothing to be nervous about. And thanks for sharing that, because for you to say that you enjoy praying now, but that you used to hate it, that's really important, because there are a lot of other people listening saying, yeah, I feel the exact same way. I know it's important, but I struggle. I don't feel I'm connecting with God. I feel unbelief. I don't think he'll answer me. It's hard on my flesh. Whatever the issues are. And in point of fact, you've gone from hating your prayer time to enjoying your prayer time. And yes, recognizing the Holy Spirit living within us, Romans 8, he makes intercession for us according to the will of God, according to the mind
right.
of God. And then using some of the language of Scripture, of course, that's what religious Jews do to this day, pray the Psalms. So Jesus certainly would have used the Psalms in his prayer time. Hey, Ardith, thanks for the call and for encouraging us. Do me a favor. Pray for this broadcast that God would use it to touch people, okay?
Oh, amen. I can do that.
All right. It'll make a difference. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I continue to be amazed as I'm looking at our board of callers here with caller after caller from the Massachusetts area. Bring it on. Bring it on. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. When we come back, I will share with you my article in the Christian Post, Let the Awakening Begin with Us. Take more of your calls and list some of the most effective things that I can think of that I've experienced that will help deepen our prayer lives, deepen our lives in God through prayer.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the most fascinating things you can do is look at the prayer life of Paul. You say, well, where do I get that? Well, we see that when he has this encounter with the risen Jesus in Acts 9, 3 days, he's praying, he's not eating, he's praying. And that's how he's identified. The Lord tells Ananias, he's praying. And then on the island of Malta in Acts 28, before bringing healing to that island, he prays. But where you really get a glimpse of his prayer life is reading the beginning of his letters. You have some other prayer excerpts, for example, in Ephesians, the third chapter in the middle of the book. But if you'll look at how he prays when he tells the Ephesian believers, where he tells Timothy, where he tells Colossians and Philippians, how he prays and day and night without ceasing and praying for them and the burdens that he prays and then the way he calls us to pray. Wow. And that convicts me deeply, because it's not like he had endless time on his hands, is it? It's not like he had all the time in the world to just pray because he had nothing else going on. And yet that was priority. There's no way you can do that unless it is priority. What a convicting lesson for us. 866-34-TRUTH as we talk about deepening our prayer lives today. By the way, one way that you can do it is by praying with other people who are people of prayer. Getting in an environment for corporate prayer where there are other people that know the Lord and know how to pray. You can do that at Fire School of Ministry. This is our leadership institute. This is where we teach and train leaders and leaders in the making to go out and be world changers. You have to be at least college age, have to be seriously committed to the Lord. You can be 50, you can be 20, you can be 40. You got to be seriously committed to the Lord with a sense of leadership calling to go and be a world changer. We have our next Discover Fire dates, June 23rd to 26th. Where you sit in our classes, our worship services, our outreaches, be with our students, faculty, June 23rd to 26th. So you may want to mark that down. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Fire School of Ministry. Man, I am amazed. We had some folks that couldn't hold that were from the greater Boston area or from Massachusetts in general. But I have, in all of my time on the Line of Fire, and in particular these last 5-6 weeks that we've been on a bunch of new Salem stations all over America, including WEZE in Boston, this is the first time I can remember where every call that I've seen come in has come in from that neck of the woods. This has my attention. This really has my attention. Folks living there in the greater Boston area, in New England and greater Massachusetts, what a great encouragement to go after God in prayer. Perhaps the Lord is stirring hearts in that region. Pat in Raintree, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. I think that we're really thirsty for the Word of God. I would just like to say, for me, I have a lot of prayer answered over my life. And I will tell people. I will witness to them. And you know, they will say, oh, come on, that couldn't have happened. I mean, for instance, we were driving to Florida with my 6 kids and my husband, and a pipe broke in our car, and we had to keep stopping and putting water in the, wherever you put it. And now it was nighttime. We had nowhere to stop, no gas stations. So help me, a flash rainstorm came. We filled up cups of water with our coffee cups, and we made it to a motel. I mean, and we had the kids praying, my husband and I were praying, but I also had trouble. My husband got very sick. I needed so much money, and one person came, $10,000. I needed $1,200 for our insurance. A woman handed me $1,000, and they said, just take your time. I don't know how those things happen. Praying. So, but then you get to the time when you're praying again, and it's hard for us to believe now. Okay, God, are you really here? We're not always believing no matter what happens. I really wish I had written them down as they happened and see that whole thing.
You're absolutely right, Pat. There's a reason that things are repeated over and over and over again in the Word, and we're told to remember. Yep. I've journaled a lot of things. I've journaled daily for many years now. But I have not always journaled answers to prayer. or reminded myself. But that was on my list of things we can do to deepen our prayer lives is journal.
Yeah.
Lay out the questions, lay out the issues, lay out the needs, and then be determined on a regular basis to journal answers, because it does build faith, and then you share that with others, and others share with you. I can't tell you how many times my own faith has been ignited when someone shared a testimony with me, someone shared in the midst of an impossible situation how God moved. It just stirred me. That's the same God. Let's take hold of him. So, friends listening, I strongly encourage you, take hold of this journal, jot down prayer times, prayer areas, jot down answers, and then encourage one another with testimonies. Hey, thanks for calling in, Pat. Continue to be stirred in faith.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let me share this editorial that I wrote. It is relevant. It's posted on the Christian Post website. If you're on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, you'll find a link to it. Here's what I wrote. This came out today. America's greatest crisis today is not economic, nor is it political, social, or military. To be sure, we are teetering on the edge of a massive financial collapse, while at the same time we are politically and socially divided, not to mention mired in two or three costly wars. But our greatest crisis goes deeper. It is a spiritual crisis. And because it is a spiritual crisis, it is a moral crisis. The light within us has become dark, and the salt has lost its saltiness. The Church of Jesus, which is called to be the spiritual lamp and the moral preservative of society, has fallen asleep. The awakening must begin with us. This is not to minimize the many acute problems we face in our country today. Abortion on demand still takes more than 1 million lives a year. The family unit continues to erode. Gay activism continues to challenge our biblical values and freedoms. Human trafficking, gang violence, teen drug use, and a host of other social ills stare us in the face. But our problem is not so much the presence of darkness as it is the absence of light. The finger must first be pointed at us. You see, it is to be expected that sinful people do sinful things, and that worldly people do worldly things. But it is unexpected when those called to be righteous live just like the world, when the sins of the society become the sins of the church, when it is the world that changes the church rather than the church that changes the world. Can anyone really dispute that for the last generation this is exactly what has happened? It was Dr. Martin Luther King who noted that the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool. This certainly cuts to the core of the never-ending debate about the meaning of the separation of church and state. But King also issued this warning: if the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. What an indictment of the American church today. Having lost our prophetic zeal, our consciousness of God, our conviction of sin, our brokenness for the lost, our courage to go against the grain and challenge the status quo, our moral imperative, we have become, in all too many cases, an irrelevant social club. In fact, it would not be that far out of line for many of our religious assemblies to change their marquees to read, "Irrelevant Social Club, meets Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights." Without a doubt, there is a godly remnant that is seeking God, reaching out, touching the world, making a difference. But we deceive ourselves if we imagine it is anything more than a remnant. George Barna discovered that the most accurate articulation of the moral standard of today's Christian teens was whatever. While Professor Kenda Creasy Dean, in her book Almost Christian, What the Faith of Our Teenagers is Telling the American Church, argued persuasively that the toothless and tepid Christianity found among young people in many of our churches has been inherited directly from their parents. We have gotten to the point where we hope, rather than take for granted, that the famous pastor or evangelist or teacher whose ministry has so blessed us will not be caught in some kind of moral scandal. Well, on the local level, millions of people are dropping out of church participation because of boredom and disillusionment. This is not the glorious church for which Jesus died and rose and sent his spirit. Something is terribly wrong and something is clearly missing. But it is not time for us to point accusing fingers at this denomination or that leader, at this local congregation or at that TV preacher. Rather, as Ambrose said, before God can deliver us, we must undeceive ourselves. And the awakening that we so desperately need, yes, the awakening that America must have, begins with each of us individually. Each of us must search our own hearts and lives and ask, have I left my first love? Have I become cold or compromised? Have the values of the world corrupted me? Have I become polluted by sin? As an old evangelist once counseled, the best way to pray for revival is to draw a circle on the ground, then step inside that circle, and then pray, Lord, revive everything inside the circle. Let the awakening begin with us. My brothers and sisters, my friends, it is time for us to pray. Let's take hold of it. Let's be determined, little by little by little, to get to the place where we are a praying people, a people connecting with God, a people really seeing a difference in prayer. Wherever you are right now, remember, if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You take a step in the right direction. Do what you know how to do. Don't necessarily try to change everything in one moment of time. Go in the right direction. God will meet you, and you will see radical change come. It all starts with prayer. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being with us today as we focus on a very important topic. What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? Look, prayer is not the only thing. Obviously, we have to be people of the Word. Obviously, we have to be people of character. Obviously, we have to be people of obedience who do what God is calling us to do. I understand that. But I would dare say if our prayer lives were in order, if I don't just mean going through a little prayer list and getting in our 10 minutes or our hour, whatever the time is a day, I mean if we were really meeting with God in prayer, I feel like everything else will fall into place because that's the life source out of which everything flows, our communion with God. Reverend Tom in Boston, thanks for calling, and thanks also for being a new torchbearer. That means a lot to us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to encourage you today, and I know that you have sometimes people who are negative about things that you may have written or said, but my experience is, and just the time that I've watched you either on TV, Thinking It Through, which is a wonderful program, I unfortunately don't see it anymore, and then to listen to you on the radio, I think that everything that you do, my experience has been in love, even if you may have a different or opposing view. And so I want you to be encouraged and just let you know that there are a lot of people that love you like me and are excited to be a support to you. And all of that being said, I quite agree with everything that you've said today. And one of the things that you said earlier, and I don't remember exactly how you said it, but it was something to the effect that I just lost my train of thought here, but it was something like prayer changes us, and that's it doesn't really necessarily change God, but it does something for us. And one of my favorite scriptures, Dr. Brown, is from 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I know sure. You know this verse and know what I'm going to say, but it's if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. One of my favorite scriptures. I'm working on writing a book after 43 years, I guess, in ministry about knowing the voice of God in our lives. And one of the things that one of the chapters is about prayer. And I thought about it this way, that prayer is nothing more than a conversation between two people who love each other, you and God.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Dr. Brown.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, thank you for the call. Thanks for the encouragement. And for sure, the opposition encourages me that I'm doing the right thing, but I don't mind words of encouragement as well. And, you know, I believe, from what I understand from Scripture and even experience and other testimony, I believe that God enjoys the time that we spend with Him in prayer, but in terms of changing the person, obviously it changes us. We commune with Him. We become like the one we spend time with. As we gaze on Him and meditate on His promises, it really deepens who we are as people. We unburden ourselves in His presence. And then, of course, the wonderful answers to prayer. Hey, blessings on your book, and thanks again for standing with us.
Thank you.
All right. Let me tell you what. Let me give you some of my list here, and I'll see if I can get to one more call. things that can deepen our prayer lives to the extent that we have fixed times that we pray. I know some people are different, and a lot of times that hasn't been the pattern of my life, fixed times as much as consistent and persistent times. But fixed times that are locked in. Prayer should be relational. If you find you're just going through the motion, just going through the motions of a routine or a ritual, then do what you need to do to make it relational. Worship the Lord and share your love for Him and commune with Him or meditate on promises as to who He is before you begin to pray about other things. Prayer has to be persistent for breakthroughs to come. Luke 11 speaks of a boldness in prayer, and Luke 18 of a persistence in prayer, where we're going to hang in until the answer comes. You cannot just think, I'm going to throw this thing up one time and hope that it lands in the right place. Prayer should be focused. Do your best to put yourself in an environment where your mind is not wandering. Turn off. Turn away those things that are distractions to the extent you have the power to do that. For many, it helps to find a place of worship first, to engage the Lord in worship, to put on some of your favorite worship music or to sing along in certain ways or to take out your guitar if you play or keyboard and worship the Lord. And then out of that, let prayer flow. And let it flow. You may have things you pray for in a set way. You may use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern, a prayer. You may pray some of the prayers that Paul prayed for the believers that are recorded in his letters. But also be led. Be led in your praying. Be ready to move in different directions. Base your prayers on the Word. No, not all praying is just praying the Word, but look at the great themes of the Word. Look at the themes we're told to pray for. Look at the promises that are offered to us. Read testimonies about answers to prayer. Great prayer books that'll stir you to pray often have great testimonies as well. So those types of things, whatever will stir you, whatever you find lights a spark, give yourself to that. And then just determine, just like anything you do of quality, but be it exercising, be it studying, be it working at a job, be it practicing an instrument, you got to stay with it. And sometimes, because of the flesh, we can get distracted, we can get bored, we can hit a wall of unbelief. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Be determined. I'm going to be a man of prayer. I'm going to be a woman of prayer. And Paul encourages us to pray in the Spirit. Jude speaks of praying in the Spirit. Work that out in your own life. I'm speaking to people from many different backgrounds, so let me simply say, if you know the Lord, if you're a follower of Jesus, find out what it means to pray in the Spirit. Give yourself to it. If you have opportunity to pray with other people at prayer times corporately, that's also wonderful and rich. Do whatever you need to do to deepen your prayer life. If you go to AskDrBrown.org on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, you'll see a link to my recent message, a call to pray that I delivered at our church community at Fire Church just a couple of weeks ago. Remember, you can become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. Help us to speak to everyone we speak to on the air today and speak to many more thousands across the country by calling us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. As you become a torchbearer, you have free access to all of our online classes. One of them, by the way, is on Principles of Awakening. That'll really stir you and encourage you in prayer. And those are free to our monthly torchbearers. So find out how you can stand with us. Find out about the School of Cultural Engagement, our special offer that we're extending through this week. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line is this. There is nothing more important we can do with our time than meet with God. There is nothing more important that we can do with our time than commune with Him, share our hearts with Him, unburden ourselves to Him, praise Him, worship, bring our petitions to Him, and become men and women of prayer. Nothing can stop you from being a man or woman of prayer. We know the power of prayer. We know the promises of prayer. We know the importance of prayer. Why is it we have such a hard time praying? What can we do to deepen our prayer lives?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Prayer. Prayer is our subject for today. Prayer is the thing that we are focused on. We are seeking to encourage, stimulate, challenge, build, help you pray, help you be more a man and woman of prayer. And I want to talk about, in particular, things we can do to deepen our prayer lives. Love to hear your suggestions. If you found something that's been effective in your own life that has helped deepen your life in prayer, give us a call at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or online, ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown. Hey, the bottom line is the battles we fight are ultimately spiritual. The issues we're facing in society are ultimately spiritual. The greatest breakthroughs that are going to take place are spiritual. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We might see things all around us, the political realm. We might see things around us, the economic realm, and so many problems, so many issues. Maybe in your school system where your kids are going, maybe in your neighborhood where you live, there are real issues, shaking all around the world. I understand that there are real issues. The ultimate solution is found in God, and ultimately we connect with him in prayer. And although I must confess that I have not lived this out a fraction of how I could and should in God through the years. I don't want to say I'm not a man of prayer. I want to say that it is a fraction of what I understand I could have in God in a focused and deeper way, at least many times in my life. But I want to say this. If you said, okay, we're going to take away everything you can potentially do except one thing, you can be a world changer. You can be used by God. Here's the assignment. We want to see Israel touched. We want to see the gospel go to the nations. We want to see America revived. We want to see the church ablaze. And on, things that my heart is burdened for. And God said, okay, you could be on radio. You could write books. You could be on TV. You could lead a congregation. You could lead a school, teach at a school. You could travel and preach, whatever other options there are. You only get to do one thing, only one thing for the rest of your life. Or you could pray, which would be the most effective way to seeing those goals fulfilled. Yeah, it would be prayer, wouldn't it? It would be putting God first in prayer. It would be seeking his face. It would be crying out to him. You know, I've often used this analogy. Maybe you're the best man in a wedding. The wedding is 3 hours away. You realize, oh no, I overslept. I barely have time to get washed up and dressed properly and get over there. 3 hour drive, you get in the car, you barely got 3 hours, and you realize, oh no, I'm out of gas. I'm out of gas. Well, the only gas station is 10 minutes out of your way. I don't have time to stop. Well, if you don't stop, you won't get there. If you don't stop, you won't get there. It's that simple. It is absolutely essential that we put first things first. Otherwise, the mission won't be accomplished. Now, if God said to me, you can pray and do one other thing, would it be writing? Would it be radio? Oh, that's another question. But if there was only one thing I could do to the exclusion of the others, which would it be? Have to be prayer. Because in prayer, alone in your room, alone in the hospital, alone in a prison cell, in prayer, you can touch God and you can touch the world because God touches the world and God has access to all resources, to every preacher, every teacher, every professor, every writer, every church, every bank, every institution, everything. God can move and accomplish his will. What stops us from prayer and what can we do to deepen our prayer? Back with your calls on the other side of the break.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without a heart. In other words, when you pray, don't just mutter empty words. Pray from your heart. E.M. Bounds said, no learning can make up for the failure to pray. Meryl Johnson said, if you hem your morning with prayer, you are not so likely to come unraveled as the day wears on. Throughout the scriptures, invitations to pray. Our God says, call to me in the day of I will answer you. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? What can we do to become more effective in prayer? 866-34-TRUTH. Really, this is one of the most important subjects we could ever talk about, and a subject from which everything else we do at the Line of Fire, everything else we do at Ask Dr. Brown, everything else we do at our fire community, with our missionaries, with our church base, with our ministry school, with our work to reach out to the Jewish people, with our heart for moral cultural revolution, everything else we do will flow out of the depth of our life in prayer. Look, it's not visible and open. Yeah, there are public prayer meetings, but most of our prayer time is in secret, is alone, is with God. And I liken that to the roots of a tree. You see some great oak tree that's withstood three hurricanes, and the houses around it, multi-million-dollar houses torn up, hurricanes, tornadoes. And how's this tree still there? That's a big, strong tree. Yeah, but the roots go down so deep and are so widespread under the ground that they enable that tree to grow to that height and to be that strong. How deep are your roots in God? Question I've asked myself many a time, how deep am I in God? 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in Boston, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Hi. I just thank you for bringing this topic up to the fore for you. I think this is very important, just like you mentioned before. And I just want to agree with you on corporate prayer. There is something about corporate prayer. There's a power behind it when others in Christ come together and agree. Like I said in the Word, when two or three are gathered together, there I am. There I am in the midst. And also with the woman that was named Pat that called in about the rain that fell down after they prayed because the car stopped. And, you know, and they were out nowhere, and then they just asked God, Lord, you know, come in, rescue, and He did, and they gathered up water and put it in the car for it to continue on in their travels, and a caller by the name of Tom, when he said prayer is like a conversation between two people who love each other,
mm-hmm.
and it's so true. It's when you begin. When you start beginning to get in conversation with God, it's really like, you know, you getting to know the person, you know, just like you getting to know God. God knows you, but you want now to come closer to Him. You want to find out more about Him. So it may start off on your side, dry. You're not certain. You're like, okay, well, I think this is what I say. But, you know, like you said, refer to the Word of God and to get your fill in the Spirit, in your faith, in your faith walk, and I totally agree with that. And this is all part of the process. It's a process, and God wants also, like you said, there is a consistency in prayer that God desires from us. He desires us to be consistent, to come to Him all the time, come seek Him. You know, He'll never hide from you when you seek Him. And
yeah,
I'm happy that this whole conversation, I mean, that you're bringing this topic up so that everyone can hear, you know, the interesting callers that are coming in from New England, and I'm from that area. And that tells me that's a sign also that, like Pat said, we're thirsty. We're hungry.
Yeah, I think so. It was and for those listening, think what calls is she talking about? Karen actually called in on our first hour, which airs in the Boston area and many other parts of America. And to my surprise, You know, we're out in New York City and D.C., so we get tons of callers from those areas. But it must have been the first 10 or 12 calls that I saw on the caller board today on our switchboard were all from the New England area, specifically from Massachusetts, many from Boston. So if you're wondering what calls is Karen referring to, those are the calls. But, hey, thank you for your voice and continue to press in. When we pray, people can actually see the difference in our own lives. God bless you. Thanks.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, we've still got some callers with us from New England. Jacqueline in Boston, thanks for holding. What's on your heart about deepening our lives in prayer?
Hi, Dr. Brown. This is Jacqueline. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I also hear something else beeping.
Oh, sorry, the devil trying to intervene, right?
or something else happening. May not be the devil, but here we go.
Okay, so anyway, I want to thank you and all the callers that have made suggestions, and I'd like to make a suggestion myself. So when we get together as a prayer group at our church, each of us prepare for prayer. Each week, each person will decide what the opening prayer is going to be, and welcome, the Holy Spirit to work within us and to intervene, for us, through the prayer. So, we study the scripture and one of us prepares for the prayer each week. So that's one thing. Another thing is that one of the women in our group suggested that we write down a psalm and try to study that, memorize that each week or each day. And then she even gave out note cards, like a spiral-bound note cards for you to write your psalms on. And she suggested that each one of us write down the psalm, bring it with you when you go to the grocery store, bring it with you when you're picking up your child in car line. You will memorize that prayer, and that's something that won't leave you. So we started off with Psalm 1. We went through, each of the different psalms, memorizing them, and it really brings you into God's word, and each time you pray it, you hear something different. Of course, because God's word is a living word, and so each time you pray it, you hear something different from him.
Yeah, and Jacqueline, just the point you make about giving yourself to prayer in a focused way. I mean, I prepare my thoughts. I may prepare articles or notes or links, but I prepare my thoughts. I prepare my heart for each radio show. If you're going into a business meeting with someone and you're going to give a presentation, you prepare that. Now, obviously, we can come to God throughout the day. We can wake up in the middle of the night, something on our mind, we pray. We're driving in the car, a thought comes to mind, we pray. Then there's that other aspect of really saying, okay, I am coming in a focused way with a real purpose, and I'm going to give myself to this. And when you do, you're a living testimony to the fact that there are rewards that are reaped when we do this in the Word, meditating, getting this in our spirit and our mind, getting in harmony with God. It enriches our prayer lives, doesn't it?
It does, certainly. And so those note cards are great. I encourage everyone there, buy some note cards, and it's not because I own stock in, Staples or, Office Max, but I think it's good to write them down and just be committed to learning.
Absolutely. Hey, Jacqueline, thanks so much for calling. God bless you.
Sure. You too. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. Just something to think about. I've seen many years because I've always been into gadgets and techie stuff. My first personal computer was purchased in 1985. Cost me $3,000 in 1985. Don't ask me how we afforded it. Probably had to pay it off over a period of time. I've had watches now with more memory and probably computing gadgets than that early computer had. But I wrote many years ago that the more that we store the Word on our hard drives, the less we'll have it. And I think it's great that we have the Word in our cell phones, that we have the Word in a thousand different forms, that you can have 20 translations and carry them with you in your pocket. But I wonder how much we actually meditate on the Word and how much we actually memorize the Word. Here, look, many years ago, I was famous among my friends for remembering everybody's phone numbers, just whoever I knew. And if I ever called them, I tended to remember their phone number. My memory works decently well. So I just would easily remember phone numbers, and people, yeah, you always remember my phone number. Well, then when I started to write them down and put them on my computer, I realized I was memorizing them less because I wasn't dependent on it. Then when you have everything, you know, it's just there with speed dials, speed dialing on your phone, and now your cell phone, you just got your favorites that you press. I realized once when my phone was stolen, actually I was preaching at a church, and in between services, someone must have gone into the pastor's office and gone through, stole some things, stole my cell phone, if you can believe that. But I went to start calling, you know, call my sister. Even know my assistant's phone number. I knew my home number, my wife's cell phone number, my mother's number, because I was an old number from way back when. I couldn't think of anybody else's numbers. It's the same thing with the Word, friends, and we need to do what we can to memorize the Word, work at that, get in our hearts and minds. That will enrich our prayer lives. Back with a whole lot more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I remember some years ago reading an article that said, well, Jesus really didn't pray that much himself. The Gospels only mention prayer here, and there. He obviously didn't pray that much, or they would have mentioned it more. Quite the contrary. The Gospels draw attention to Jesus praying all night. Draw attention to Jesus getting up early in the morning, well before the disciples, who I'm sure were not sleeping in until noon with the life habit of people in that world at that time. It constantly references to prayer, one after another after another. Luke in particular is rich with that. I've taught on that many times, the prayer life of Jesus. If you look at it, it'll mention Jesus praying more than it'll mention him sleeping. Does that mean he didn't sleep? The prayer life of Jesus, of foundational importance. If Jesus needed to pray, what about you and me? Paul, writing to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:15, for this reason, so I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. When you read Paul's letters, you see over and over, constantly giving thanks, which, by the way, is a great key to effective prayer, giving thanks, appreciating who God is, repeating to him who he is so our ears hear that and understand it so we can take hold of his promises. But Paul talks about praying for this one, praying for that one. I make mention of you day and night. My prayer is praying without ceasing for you. It's quite extraordinary. Colossians 1:9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The importance of prayer. Wow, what can we do to deepen our prayer lives? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for resources relevant to today's topic. Sally in Huntington, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you about prayer, and I'm so glad that you have this topic.
Sure thing.
It's funny because I love to pray, and when I say pray, I mean, I don't know if prayer has to be in a certain format, but I enjoy just praying when I see that my friends are in agony and they're suffering. I pray for them as they're speaking to me. It's not a prayer where I sit down and I spend hours, but I'm constantly praying for the people and the places around me, for my family. And prayer is everything in our lives. And I remember once when I was very depressed and I had to take medication, and I would pray and I say, Lord, I don't want this. You made me perfect. I want you to heal me. I want you to put your Holy Spirit over me. Okay, it didn't happen instantly because there were other issues that had to be resolved, but eventually now I'm not taking the medication, and it was all through prayer. So prayer can be even a moment when you're with your friends and you're talking, and you just pray. Even when you're there speaking to them, you just pray for them, and it's just, you see all the beautiful things that the Lord can do for us.
I think you just need to turn your radio down there. But, yes, Sally, being God-conscious all the time is very, very effective. And although I believe it's very important that we have times focused alone with God, being God conscious, so much of the time I'll be out in difficult situations or in ministry settings, or you're sitting with someone who doesn't know the Lord and just praying silently, God hearing your thoughts, praying for those other people, praying for breakthroughs in those situations. That, yeah, it's part of communing with Him, part of living with God, and
yeah,
part of just as natural as breathing should be for us, prayer should be just as natural.
Yes, like I, you know, even like you, one of the callers mentioned before, but even when I go in the car, I'm like, thank you, but for this wonderful day, may this day be just as marvelous as you are. And I happen to work in a very difficult school district. I'm a high school teacher, and we just recently lost a student, and we lose so many of them often, where it affected me to the point where I said, Lord, you have to make me strong because I'm suffering for these kids and for their families. Just guide me so that you put in my own teaching the things that you want me to share with them.
Mm.
And it just comes beautifully, and I say, thank you, Lord. And I do this constantly. Granted, I don't sit hours and pray, but yes, I do my Bible studies, and we pray constantly for everyone. And I see how beautifully the Lord works. And I think we all just have to do that. Just do it constantly. Just let it be part of your life.
Absolutely. Hey, Sally, thanks for calling in, and may the Lord use you in your school to touch many people with the reality of Jesus. Lori in Mili'ani, Hawaii, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello? Are you there, Lori? All right, I can't hear you. If you are, James in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for having me on.
You're very welcome.
I just want to thank you for your testimony. A few weeks ago, I heard your testimony about growing up, you know, some of the decisions you made growing up, and I thank you for your honesty in that, because I can relate to that specifically, a lot of the situations, maybe not geographically, but anyway, as far as prayer goes, when I was saved, the first prayer that God ever heard was my prayer for repentance. Before then, He did not hear my prayer. I wasn't in His will, but the first prayer He ever heard and answered for me was the one of repentance, acknowledging that I was wrong. Since then, in my young, whenever I was saved, I prayed for specific things, and I struggled with that, praying for, you know, a bill to be paid, praying for a sick loved one, specific illnesses. But since then, I've learned to pray, as you mentioned earlier, Paul said, pray without ceasing, to pray in the Spirit and constantly pray that God, glorify yourself through this situation. God, use this situation to glorify you, glorify your Son, and use me in any way you see fit. And since then, He always answers that prayer. He always glorifies Himself, even through infirmity, even through affliction, any situation. I don't pray to get out of persecution, or I pray that God will glorify Himself through it, because I don't expect to be wealthy. I don't expect to walk a pristine life, even though I am a Christian, not in this world anyway. So putting in that perspective, an internal perspective, I just thank you very much for your show, and God bless you.
All right. Thank you, James, for calling in. Hey, I appreciate that James's heart is not just that things go well for him, but that God is glorified, and that his ultimate desire is that God would be glorified through his life. I think it's important that we look at the Word and see, what does the Word say about sickness? What does the Word say about persecution? What does the Word say about different subjects? Do our best to determine what the Word says, and then based on that, we can also pray accordingly. Lord, your will be done in this. Lord, you promised this. Bring this to pass. But the bottom line is, God answers prayers. If we pray according to his will, what does it say in 1 John 5? This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, then we know we have the petitions we desired. When we know we've prayed in accordance with the will of God and put our trust in him, we can praise him and thank him that he will faithfully answer. Let's deepen our prayer lives, friends. Let's become men and women of prayer. It'll change everything around us if we do.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's a fact, friends. Without prayer, we're not going to see a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Without prayer, we're not going to see awakening in the church. Without prayer, we're not going to see many things that we deeply long to see, desire to see. Without prayer, we will not see them happen. We're talking today on The Line of Fire about deepening our prayer lives, deepening our relationship with God through prayer. What can we do to effectively become men and women of prayer? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Our Facebook community online is Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I wrote an article for the Christian Post that came out today. There's a link to it on our Facebook page on Ask Dr. Brown. And it's called Let the Awakening Begin. Specifically, Let the Awakening Begin with Us. I believe it'll stir your heart as you read it. I believe it'll speak to you and challenge you as you read it. But the reason I mention it is, when I was looking at the article, I was told that it was posted, so I was just looking to see where it was and put a link on our site, tell our IT folks where it was. Well, I saw a link to another article, Facing Death, Christopher Hitchens Affirms Atheism. And it says, this just came out yesterday, Christopher Hitchens disclosed to his atheist comrades on Friday that he has now lost his voice to esophageal cancer, but his atheistic beliefs remain stronger than ever. In a letter to the American Atheist Conference, Hitchens encouraged fellow unbelievers to remain united and to carry on, quote, the secular revolution. Quote, quoting Hitchens, our weapons are the ironic mind against the literal, the open mind against the credulous, the courageous pursuit of truth against the fearful and abject forces who would set limits to investigation and who stupidly claim that we already have all the truth we need. It's sad to read Hitchens holding firm to his atheism, saying that as the idea of death becomes more familiar to him, the pleading for salvation, redemption, and supernatural deliverance becomes more hollow and artificial. Instead of the false consolations of religion, which he equates with superstition, Hitchens said he places his trust in medical science and the support of friends and family. It's sad to read that. What do we do? What's the greatest thing we can do? We can pray. We can pray. There are believers right now in China facing extreme hardship, persecution for their faith, under extraordinary pressure in prison. What can we do? We can write letters. We can do things, but we can pray. You've got a loved one. You've got a kid that's away from God. They're in rebellion. They're on the streets right now. You've reached out everywhere you know how to do. What can you do? You can pray. There are rabbis that I want to see saved that I've been in dialogue with for years. By God's grace, I'll continue in dialogue with them. But what's the most important, effective thing I can ultimately do for them? Pray. Everything that we do, we want to see changes in our own lives. We want to see personal revival. We want to see freedom from sinful habits and other junk. What's the most effective thing we do? Not the only thing, but the most effective thing is really meet with God in prayer. Really make prayer a priority. Really ask ourselves, what stands in the way of my praying? What can I do to remove those obstacles so that I could be more and more a man, more and more a woman of prayer? Whatever it takes. By the way, for those listening who are gender confused, I was not saying that I will be a man and woman of prayer. I was speaking to the men. I was speaking to the women. Just to be clear, 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to your phone calls shortly. I want to share some encouraging quotes. I've got over the years, put together a file with lots of stirring quotes on prayer. Or Edward Payson, who is known as Praying Payson of Portland, he said this: prayer is the first thing, the second thing, the third thing necessary to a minister. Pray then, my dear brother, pray. Pray, pray. Evan Roberts, my mission is first to the churches. When the churches are aroused to their duty, men of the world will be swept into the kingdom. A whole church on its knees is irresistible.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you believe that Jesus is reliable? Well, of course. I've given my life to him, put my trust in him to save me from my sins. Are you sure that what he says is true? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, how about this? Jesus said, John 14, 13 and 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may bring glory, the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. John 15, 7, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. So as we're in harmony with the Father, his word is in our heart, we're praying in accordance with his will, ask, and it will be given. Do we take Jesus at his word? No, not everything comes instantly. Things often come with a battle, which is why he told us in Luke 18, taught a parable that people should pray and not lose heart. But do we really believe that God will answer our prayers? If so, what stops us from praying? What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? 866-34-TRUTH. I know it. It's accessible to us. It can be done. And if we'll take hold of God in prayer, all things are possible to him who believes God. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire if you'd like to post your comments there. All right, let's go back to Lori in Mili'ani, Hawaii. Do we have you on the line this time?
Hi.
Hello, loud and clear. Yes, you're on, loud and clear.
Hi. Well, aloha, Dr. Brown.
Aloha, thank you.
Anyway, I just became aware of your program recently, and I want to thank you. The title of your program is so perfect. You know, what is it, on fire?
The line of fire, yep. You got the fire part. That's the big part.
I like it because you really stir people up and you do burn, and it really provokes us to think and to really get down deep into our thoughts. I really appreciate you and your program. God bless you.
Thank you so much. So your thoughts on prayer?
Yeah. You know, the words that came to me from Scripture was, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my, you know, Redeemer. And then also it says, you know, in Scripture, it says that we need to, you know, pray in supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving thanks for all men, you know. And I truly believe, as I was telling your person that answered the phone, that, you know, first of all, of course, we know we have to be born again and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is the one that touches us and woos us to prayer. And if we're really walking with him in the way we ought to, so to speak, we'll hear his call to prayer, whether it be early in the morning, during the day and night, or whatever time. And as the Holy Spirit ministers to us in prayer, we then pray according to God's will. Yes, we have a list. I do. I have lists of prayers to pray for people in different circumstances. And also, I really believe that we can get deeper in our prayer by participating in going to different classes. For instance, Dr. Brown, I recently have attended, or am still in the Hebrew class, learning to write and read Hebrew. Uh-huh. And it has made me become more aware of my Jewish brothers and sisters. And my prayer has changed because of that.
Yeah, you know, just to jump in, sometimes as we have information about other people, as we touch other people, that deepens our prayer lives. But one important takeaway in particular from what Lori's saying is to be in communion with God so you can be led by the Spirit. I think it's great if you have things that you pray for on a regular basis. Don't just let it be by rote or just some dead routine. I think it's great if you have things that you pray for regularly, and many times that's the only way that answers do come, but be led by the Spirit. There are many, many times where I'll go to pray and have one direction I plan on going, but then just feel burdened to go in another direction or feel like I'm just getting nowhere. So change what I'm doing to get into active communion with God, pray in the Spirit, worship, meditate on Scripture, do whatever is necessary, and then at the right moment, you can then engage in prayer, other aspects of prayer more effectively. 866-34-TRUTH. Dwight in Durham, North Carolina, I believe you've got a question about prayer.
Dr. Brown, I have a problem that I'm wrestling, struggling with. For me, the misuse and abuse of prayer, for some people, when I see Christians and ministers and people praying for people who are living in fornication and adultery, and they're praying for their healing and things like that, where's that in Scripture that we ought to pray for people, you know, that they're rejecting Jesus Christ? You know, example, I was watching TV yesterday, and a guy named Todd Bennett's students was out on the street just walking to people. Hey, brother, you need a prayer. You want me to pray? Got any problems? Let me pray for you. You could be an atheist or whatever. I don't understand that.
Well, Dwight, obviously at times there can be some abuses, and I can't speak to the specific video that you saw, but this much I know, Jesus healed everyone that came to him. And it doesn't say that they were all believers or they all knew the Lord. Many times it's an extension of God's mercy. I prayed when I was first saved, and I would talk to people in my high school that didn't know the Lord. And maybe the guy's back was hurting or he had a bad cold or something. I'd say, can I pray for you that God would heal you? And as I prayed, God touched that person. Now it made God even more real to them. And I remember one guy, he had a bad back. Something would happen, his back would go out. Just a, you know, teenager in high school, maybe we were both 17 years old or something. And on three different occasions, we were sitting together talking. His back went out. He was in pain. And three different occasions, I said, can I just pray? I prayed silently. That's the only way I knew to do it back then. You know, I didn't lay hands on him. I just prayed silently. And three times, his back got better. The third time, he looked at me and said, I don't want anything to do with you, and walked away. I don't remember his precise words, but basically, he was confronted with the reality of God, and that struck him in such a way that he just got up and walked away rather than repenting. So obviously people can't come into a relationship with God without turning from their sin and asking for salvation through Jesus. And they can be healed 100 times or have their needs met 100 times and actually be further from God than they were in the start. But I just look at that as an outpouring of mercy, God making himself real to people, and then they have to respond. That's the bigger question, Dwight. What are we telling them? Are we able to really call them to serve the Lord, or do they just think that you push a magic button and get answers? If that's what they think, then we're not giving them the whole message, and something's definitely wrong. But if that's part of the larger message, then that's a positive way of God revealing himself. Okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Dwight. I appreciate that. My bigger issue is with what's happening with the message. By all means, extend the mercy of God to people. By all means, if you see someone in need and you believe that God can touch that person, don't go making empty pronouncements. Don't find someone in a wheelchair and then go up to that person and just declare, I'm telling you, God's going to heal you right now, or otherwise there is no God, or you throw out the Bible. Don't be presumptuous, friend, and just do something to do it. But I've prayed for people. Can I just tell you this honestly? Just change subjects for a moment. People are actually touched when you offer to pray for them, even if nothing happens. They generally don't expect anything to happen. So I've been with people. I remember getting into an airport, and I had to go to get my rental car. And we get in the shuttle bus, and there's a person sitting there, and she's got her hand on her stomach. She's doubled up in evident pain. And I say, hey, I know the Lord. Can I pray for you? I'm a follower of Jesus. Can I pray for you? Well, she's in terrible pain right then. She wanted prayer and help. And what struck me was she thought it was a nice gesture on my part, even if God didn't touch her. I don't remember all what happened. I think there was some relief, but I don't remember the details of it. Let's just say this. She didn't fall on her knees and start crying out for Jesus to save her. Maybe she was a believer to start. But I'm all for that. But then what do we tell them? Do we just leave them there? Or do we just say, hey, whenever you have a need, you just cry out and pray? Or do we tell those people, hey, this is the love of God. This is the goodness of God. He wants to work in your life. Friends, we've got a lot of free messages on our website that tie in with prayer that'll help you deepen your prayer life. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and we've got free online resources. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to make available resources that would help deepen you in God. So check out some of the messages on prayer. Do a search for the word prayer. You'll find helpful articles on our Voice of Revolution online website that'll really help deepen you in prayer. It'll deepen your relationship with God. It'll help you know who He really is. When we come back, I'm going to take a couple more calls with some relevant insights, and I'm going to give you a list of a number of things that you can do, that I can do, that'll help us deepen our lives in prayer. Friends, if we can be people of prayer, we can be world changers. We can be a threat to hell. We can be used by heaven. What's stopping us?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What can we do to deepen our prayer lives? What can we do to be more effective in prayer? 866-34-TRUTH online. Ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I want to get right back to the phones, and then I want to share some practical thoughts with you as well. John in Orange County, California, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I was listening to the program, and I've read a few of your books, and I also listened to a really good series on prayer that you put out. A friend of mine, he was running a ministry in Watts, East Los Angeles, and it was a place where he was ministering to low-income families in inner-city projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him, and he was we were talking about prayer, and he was talking about this book he was reading on prayer. And he said, "Hey, man, I need you to listen to these." And he gave me two messages by you. He gave me a message that you spoke about prayer in the life of Charles Finney and prayer in the life of John Hyde. And I listened to those, and I was pretty shocked by how far my life was, how shallow my life was compared to their lives of prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And then that inspired me to listen to another really good series that I thought was really good. It was put out called Intercession. And there's a whole series that I listened to, and there was one message on there that really stuck out to me, and you were going into Isaiah 58, and the message was called Fasting and Prayer. And in that message, you talked about Isaiah 58, and if you look at that chapter, there's some seriously huge promises that we're given when we fast and pray, and it talks about how the righteousness of God will go before us, and the light will shine upon us when we fast. And when we do the right fast, when we're not doing it with all this complaining, but we're doing it because we're seeking God, and we want Him to work in our lives, and we want to see breakthrough. And but that was one of the things. I don't know if that was touched on, was fasting and prayer. I know in my life, when I heard the message by Charles Finney and John Hyde, and I was spurred to try it out. I was spurred. Okay, I'm pretty lacking in this area, and I went for it, and man, the first time I went for it, I broke in tears. I broke down, and I had a breakthrough, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's breakthroughs that I can be breaking into that I haven't broken into before, and my heart can be enlarged in a way where I can love in the way that would be more Christ-like. And but I was really stirred, and I would encourage anyone, you know, not to like go into the woods or anything, and if they feel led to, I don't know, but maybe try it out if you've never tried it out before. Because after I did that, I thought, oh my gosh, I know so many Christians who have maybe never experienced this type of breakthrough in their lives, where the Holy Spirit breaks into their hearts and causes their hearts to soften and be aware of His presence in such a degree. And I felt bad. I felt, oh my gosh, there's people I know who are Christians going to church every Sunday who have not experienced this, but who can. And I know that it was part of the early church's way of life was to pray and to fast. And
let me just jump in just because we're almost out of time here. But thank you for the call, and I'm glad those messages ministered to you. I have to tell you, when I taught that series years back called Giants of the Faith, and I taught it a number of times again over the years to our students in our different ministry schools, but looking at the life of John Hyde and prayer in his life, and looking at the life of Charles Finney and prayer in his life and others, I was challenged to the core. My world was rocked looking at their lives of prayer, and that helped call me to deeper prayer. And absolutely, the ultimate thing for breakthrough in prayer is fasting. Fasting and praying together, the ultimate way to break through. When we have situations that there's no way out, we have to see God answer. That's what has to happen, prayer and fasting, aside from the discipline of doing it on a regular basis. But John, thank you for calling. By the way, if you want to know about those resources John mentioned, the Giants of the Faith series, where we look at different men and women that God used and some who failed, and we learn from their lives, teachings on prayer and intercession. Those are all available on our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore for our audio resources, Giants of the Faith and the series on prayer, the series on intercession. You can get them on CD, listen to them on MP3, listen on your computer. You'll be blessed and stirred by them. To deepen our prayer lives, friends, let's be persistent. Let's be consistent. Let's pray relationally. Let's do what we need to do to pray relationally so that things flow out of a walk with God and we're not just saying words and rote routine. If worship first is helpful, if meditation on the word first is helpful, do what's necessary to create an environment that helps you pray more deeply. And do both and pray during the day, pray as you're driving in your car, pray as you're washing the dishes, pray as you're doing the things of the day, and have focused alone time with God. Let that be the rock of your life. Encourage yourself through testimonies of answered prayer. Journal prayer requests and answers as they come. Read other books. Listen to materials, as we just referenced, that'll help stir you and go deeper in prayer. And a friend of mine, a dear Swedish brother, man of prayer, said four principles of effective intercession: desperation in prayer. The arrow that enters heaven must be launched from a bow fully bent. A sense of urgency, of helplessness, of conscious need births the most effective prayers. And then paying the price in prayer. Prayer that costs little is worth little. Dig in when your prayer life gets boring and monotonous and you feel as though you make no headway. And then number three, have expectancy in prayer. How often we grieve the Lord by expecting so little of him. And then four, confession and repentance in prayer. If our prayer life is to be effective, sin must be confessed and forsaken as soon as we are conscious it has entered our lives. Let's be men and women of prayer. Heaven opens. The Spirit comes down. Lives are changed as we pray. Whatever discouragement you've had to overcome, get back in there. Go after God in prayer. Hey, just a reminder, we're extending our special offer on our 6 weeks of classes on School of Cultural Engagement, about 80% off the regular price. Call today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you'd like to become a monthly torchbearer, help us with a one-time gift, 1-800-278-9978. You can write to us at P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. My bottom line is this: there's nothing you can do that'll be more effective than prayer first. There's nothing the devil wants you to do less than pray. One of the Puritans said, when we go to pray, the devil knows that we're going to fetch strength against him, so he opposes us all he can. Let the opposition to pray be an encouragement that you're onto something. And pray, my brother. Pray, my sister, until the answer comes.